Wraps Around My Heart, Wraps Around Your Head by Kika 988, read by Rhea 314. Fandom, The Untamed. Guh-guh! Ayuan laughs in delight at the sight of Lawanji, who is actually out of bed and seated at his desk for this visit. The Jingxu is brighter than he usually keeps it now, the shutters and shades pulled open to let in the light for his guests.
Ayuan.
Lawanji greets him, inclining his head a bit as Ayuan stumbles to a stop beside him. Lan Xichun has brought him to visit twice a week like clockwork, as soon as Lawanji was well enough to hold a conversation. And Ayuan learned early on that he couldn't cling to Lawanji like he once had, not without hurting him. Ayuan lays a small hand on Lawanji's knee, seeking some sort of contact in an area previously established as safe. Even that small touch would have earned anyone else a glare, but from Ayuan it was welcome.
Brother,
Lawanji adds, looking over to acknowledge his other guest.
It's good to see you up,
Lan Xichun says, settling opposite his brother.
How is your pain?
Bearable,
Lawanji answers simply. It's the same answer he's given every time he's been asked. It's slightly less of a lie this time. Yuan is perched on his knees beside Lawanji, leaning forward to see what he's working on.
It's calligraphy,
Lawanji explains. Ayuan nods, grinning.
Uncle showed me how to paint with inks.
Lawanji spares his brother a look. They'd never been allowed anything as frivolous as painting with expensive inks as children. But he doesn't hesitate to set out a fresh sheet of paper for Ayuan and hand over the brush he'd been using.
Sleeves, Ayuan, Lan Xichun warns.
Yuan pouts, but sets the brush down and attempts to push his sleeves back. After a few futile tries, he thrusts his arms at Lawanji.
Help?
Lawanji's movements are stiff. He can feel the pull of his healing wounds as he moves, the tender, healing skin and atrophied muscles protesting the motions. He pushes through, though, his only tell a tightness around his eyes that his brother must notice but doesn't comment on. Once Ayuan's sleeves are rolled up and tied in place, he sets about painting something, his arm bumping Lawanji's elbow as he drags the brush in wide arcs. Lawanji can't quite tell what it's meant to be, but he's sure Ayuan will be happy to explain it in short order. They watch Ayuan paint for a moment, until Lawanji looks over at his brother once more. Usually, by now, he would have brought up some anecdote about the local sect leaders, or asked for Wanji's opinion on some mostly inconsequential decision that needed making. Obvious attempts to keep him engaged with the world. It's something Lawanji tries to appreciate the sentiment behind, even if the follow-through leaves him feeling as empty and disconnected as ever. Today, though, Lan Xichun does not speak, instead watching Ayuan paint as if his mind is somewhere else entirely.
If you have duties you need to attend to, brother, Ayuan can stay here for the morning,
Lawanji finally says. Lan Xichun's eyes snap to Lawanji's. He looks vaguely guilty.
Actually, he says slowly, I wish to speak with you about that.
He hesitates, then says, Ayuan, you're being a little messy on Wanji's desk. Why don't you go paint outside, then come show us when you're done? Ayuan pouts a little, as if he wants to protest, and leans into Lawanji's side.
Find something outside to paint for us, Lawanji suggests. There are many interesting things in the garden. I will be here when you return.
That last bit of reassurance seems to convince him, and he hurries outside, carrying the sheet of paper in one hand and the pot of ink and brush in the other, his brows furrowed in concentration as he works to carry it all. The brothers watch him go, a faint smile on Lan Xichun's face as he watches over his shoulder. Once he's out of earshot, Lawanji speaks up.
Is something wrong with him? He demands.
Something to do with his illness?
No, Lan Xichen assures him quickly. No, he's fine. His memory of the time before the fever may never return, but otherwise he's as healthy as any other boy his age. Lawanji feels something in his chest ease as he releases the grip he doesn't remember having on the robes in his lap.
I did not mean to frighten you,
Lan Xichen says, his brow pinched.
This is a good thing, actually. I think it is time for Ayuan to come live here with you.
With me? Lawanji suddenly realizes that he'd never thought past Save Wei Ying's child. He'd never considered that he might end up raising said child. That he would survive to do so. That anyone would give him a duty so important, so unlike anything he's been trained for.
Do you think you are well enough yet?
Lan Xichen asks, raising his eyebrows. He's a spirited child, but a well-behaved one, and I would of course make sure you have help.
Is he... Has there been trouble?
No, Lan Xichen replies, and this time he's smiling. He's a delight to be around, honestly. But you brought him back. He's your ward. It's how I was able to approve of making him a Lan. In the family records, now, he's your son. And he misses you, Lan Xichen adds gently. He knows who saved him. He should be here with you. Lan Wenji's head spins. He knows Lan Xichen had likely relayed this information to him in the past, but he'd been too fevered and out of his mind with pain to process it. Ayuan is his son. Wei Ying's son is his son. It's simultaneously the heaviest and most welcome duty he's ever been handed. He's not at all prepared for it, and that inner conflict must show on his face.
Wanji, Lan Xichen says gently, you will not fail him. You're the only one alive who never has.
Lan Wenji may never complain about his upbringing, but he's at least somewhat aware of its shortcomings, and he's determined not to allow Ayuan's childhood to be any more difficult than it already has been. At the age of 7, Ayuan has already survived the deaths of his immediate family, then his clan, then his first adoptive father. He's lived in extreme poverty in the burial mounds, has known hunger in a way Lan Wenji can only imagine. He may not remember it, but his history has imprinted itself on him. It's evident in his small stature, in the way he clutches at food and tends to overeat if not stopped. Despite all of that, he's a happy child, and doesn't hesitate to form attachments. He loves Lan Wenji openly and without reservation, and for the first time, Lan Wenji is determined to return that. It's hard. It shouldn't be. He's aware of that. Giving a child hugs and returning sticky kisses shouldn't be difficult. But for someone who has never shown physical affection, it's more of a struggle than he'd like to admit. He starts with rules, because he's good with those. 2 hugs a day, minimum. And no shying away when Ayuan initiates contact. Lan Wenji is still too injured to pick Ayuan up, or play anything more physically demanding than finger games with him. But he has made friends quickly with the other children in Cloud Recesses, so the sound of shrill laughter becomes common outside the Jingshu. Occasionally, someone will shush one of the other children Ayuan plays with, but they never, ever scold Ayuan, not with Lan Wenji watching serenely nearby. Rules are important, and he'll teach Ayuan each of the Cloud Recesses' laws in time. But for now, he still hears Wei Ying and Ayuan's bright laugh, and he'd rather carve out his own heart than silence that.
I never would have imagined you with a child, but you're doing well.
Lan Xichen had just watched with a small smile as Ayuan had run up, clinging to Lan Wenji's waist and asking if he and Jingyi could play with the rabbits.
Lamanji had reached down, petting his hair, brushing it back into some semblance of neatness before telling him to stay together with his friend and be back before the sun sets. Lamanji pours the tea, passing his brother a cup.
I can only try.
You're doing well, Lan Xichen says firmly. He's good for you. Lamanji goes still, then very carefully sets the tea aside.
Ayuan is not a poultice to be placed on a wound that cannot be healed.
Of course not, Lan Xichen says placidly.
You're as good for him as he is for you. You're more free with him than I've ever seen you with anyone.
There was, perhaps, once an exception to that, but neither of them mention it. Lawanji's lips tighten slightly, but he picks up his tea.
It's selfish for me to keep him here, he says after a moment. He should have a family.
He has one, Lan Xichen asserts.
He has a father and an uncle who love him.
He says,
A father,
he adds carefully, meeting Lawanji's eyes,
who is one of the few who both knows and can empathize with what he has lost.
A deep, steadying breath later, Lawanji deems it safe to open his eyes again.
With luck, he says, eyes on the table. He will never remember, and never need that empathy.
Lan Xichen frowns, his brow creased.
Do you really think that's for the best? He asks. A moment later, he adds, quieter. Would you choose to forget if you could? Never,
Lawanji answers without hesitation. They finish their tea in silence, and then Lan Xichen watches as his brother stands, still moving like a puppet on strings, lacking all his characteristic grace, to watch out the Jingshu's back window for Ayuan's return. A year and a half later, Lawanji is far more mobile, and his eyes keep straying to the northwest. He longs to go, to look, to see for himself what is, or is not, left at the foot of that cliff. He considers bringing it up to Ayuan, to suggest he stay with his friend Jingyi or perhaps Lan Xichen for a few days. But the day he plans to discuss it, Ayuan comes home with red eyes.
What happened?
Lawanji demands, his hands already skating over Ayuan's shoulders and arms, fingers brushing lightly over his hair, searching for any sign of injury.
I'm not hurt, Ayuan says, though the set of his jaw says he's still fighting tears.
Why are you upset?
The careful rewording gets a sigh out of Ayuan.
Some of the others were asking me questions about where I came from, he says, and they laughed at me for not knowing.
Lawanji scowls, his hand tightening slightly on Ayuan's shoulder.
I will speak with their parents, he says darkly.
No,
Ayuan protests.
Jingyi yells at them and they stopped. They're right, though, aren't they? I should remember.
His lip is quivering again, and the sight of it makes Lawanji want to tear apart anyone who has made his Ayuan doubt himself. Ayuan has grown a lot in the past year, gained at least 4 inches in height, but he's still as sweet and affectionate as ever, going along easily when Lawanji sits on the edge of the bed and pulls the gangly boy into his lap. It's a level of casual touch and easy contact that once would have made his skin crawl, but this small boy, his boy, has become the exception to all of those personal rules.
You had a fever that clouded your memory, Lawanji explains. That you survived at all is a miracle, something more impressive than any of them have claimed to.
Yuan turns his head into Lawanji's neck, shifting easily into a position that had terrified Lawanji the first time it had happened, but had now become as comfortable as breathing.
They said I came from somewhere else, he says, his voice muffled. That I'm not a real Lan. That I'm not really yours.
Lawanji makes himself take a deep breath, forcing an air of calm into his next words.
Are you happy here?
Yuan sits back, his eyes wide and dark.
Yes. I love you and Uncle and the rabbits and Jingyi, and even the other kids, usually. You let me play and teach me things.
He pauses.
You talk to me different from everyone else. They're all scared of you, but that's silly. You're so nice.
Luanji nods slowly.
Do you ever see me like this?
He asks, slightly tightening the arms he has around Ayuan to demonstrate what he means.
With anyone else?
Yuan giggles a little. No, he admits. Just me. And sometimes the bunnies. He adds, almost as an afterthought.
That's because you are mine, Luanji says firmly. And you are a Lan for as long as you wish to be.
He reaches up, tapping at Ayuan's forehead.
How could you have the forehead ribbon otherwise?
Yuan's smile is small, but still there, and Luanji takes that as a victory.
I want to be a Lan forever, Ayuan says firmly, moving to wrap his arms in a tight embrace around Luanji's neck. Even with all those rules, I want to stay here with you, Gugu.
Luanji turns his head, pressing a kiss to the top of Ayuan's head.
If only you could see him, Wei Ying, he thinks,
clenching his jaw against the wave of emotions that wash over him at even thinking of the other man.
So small still, but so full of love, and so strong. So like you.
He puts off his planned trip for a few more weeks. He knows in his heart what he'll find at the bottom of that cliff anyway. And, for now, his son needs him. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.